is Castle, takes the snap, rolls his shoulder, he's going to throw it low.
He's got a man open, and Pope makes the catch at the 15, and gets by two defenders, 10, 5, touchdown, Kansas City, as Dwayne Bowe rolls into the end zone on a 52-yard pass from Castle.
Dwayne Bowe has been one of the Chiefs' top receivers since he entered the league 5 years ago, and the Chiefs placing the franchise tag on Dwayne Bowe just before the deadline Monday afternoon. Well, it keeps Dwayne Bowe off of the unrestricted free agent market that begins 1 week from today. Welcome to Chiefs Live, everyone. Josh Looney here. As always, Chiefs Live brought to you by your Midwest Ford dealer. Solo show today, our man Brad Young. Wish him well. He's probably not tuned in. He is in Cancun, Mexico, taking some much-needed time. And it's been about 7 years I've known Brad. This is the first time he's taken his vacation to not sit on his couch or go back home to Nebraska. So Brad Young, not just traveling outside of the Nebraska-Kansas region, but actually leaving the country. He deserves it, and so we're going to get along with an action Pack show without Brad. Of course, the news around Chiefs Kingdom deals with the franchise tag going to Dwayne Bowe. Not a big surprise. I think it's really what all of us were expecting. I think there was some hope out there that maybe the team could reach a long-term deal with, at least hope among Chiefs fans that the team could reach a long-term deal with Dwayne Bowe before the franchise tag deadline. That did not happen. Had the Chiefs been able to reach a long-term agreement with Bowe before that deadline, then you're free to use the franchise tag on another player. And I think Chiefs fans in the back of their mind would say, well, then you put the franchise tag on Brandon Carr and you explore trade opportunities. You maybe keep the secondary intact, have one of the best in the league. Opens up a lot of possibilities. But what we know now is that the Chiefs' offseason and free agency situation has come into much greater focus with the franchise tag being officially placed on Dwayne Bowe. Let's talk just a little bit about the specifics of the franchise tag. A lot of folks have asked me, well, what if tomorrow the Chiefs and Dwayne Bowe agree to a long-term deal? Can they take that franchise tag and place it on Brandon Carr before the start of free agency? The answer is no. That deadline is the deadlines, and you can only designate one player as your franchise player. So whether the Chiefs agree to a long-term deal with Bowe during the show in July or not at all, he is the franchise player for the 2012 season. The Chiefs use a non-exclusive franchise tag on Dwayne Bowe. He was one of 21 players who received the franchise tag to get the non-exclusive tag. The only player to get an exclusive tag was Saints quarterback Drew Brees. That guarantees the Saints, for a little higher price, that Drew Brees will be with the team in 2012. Really, it all but guarantees for the rest of those 20 franchise players that they will be with their current teams for the 2012 season. The non-exclusive franchise tag means that when free agency starts, Dwayne Bowe is free to negotiate with other teams, be it the Bears, be it any other team that needs help at wide receiver. But here's the catch. Now, if the Bears were to offer Dwayne Bowe a contract, the Chiefs have the right to match that offer. And if the Chiefs say, no, you can have him for that price, Chicago, well, the Chiefs would also get not one but two first-round draft picks in return for losing Dwayne Bowe on the free agency market. So really, the Chiefs control their own rights with Bowe. It's the same tag, the non-exclusive tag, that the team put on Tom Mahali last year. And unless you have a guy who is your franchise quarterback and a Super Bowl champion and kind of the face of your team, such as Drew Brees, it's not surprising that the majority, really all teams except the Saints, that placed the franchise tag and used it, chose non-exclusive tags. It's a hefty price. You can get two first-round picks for a player. Most teams would probably take that in return. Plus, you also get the opportunity to match any offer, so you kind of control the finances as well. Dwayne Bowe, if he signs, I believe it's July. I wrote it on the article in KCChiefs.com last night. I believe the date is July 16th this year. That's the deadline for his contract to take place, if he signs a new deal with the team, to take place for the 2012 season. Otherwise, he would play under the franchise tag. So what does it mean for Kansas City? Is Dwayne Bowe going to be here long term? Obviously, that's speculation at this point. Not sure exactly what it means for the future of Dwayne Bowe, what it means for the possibility of re-signing Brandon Carr. But what we do know is this: six players in franchise history since 1993 have received the franchise tag. And five of those six players eventually signed long-term deals with the team. Tom Bahali being the latest in 2011, franchised in February, had a long-term deal in place, really is right as training camp started last season. The lone exception on that list of six players to receive the franchise tag is Jared Allen. You'll remember there he was very upset about getting the franchise tag. He wanted a long-term deal. There was tension with Carl Peterson in the front office and in some comments that were made when Jared Allen had his, I believe it was his second DUI within a matter of a year, and the Chiefs said he was a player at risk and did not want to throw a lot of money at Jared Allen at the time. And shortly, weeks after Jared Allen was given the franchise tag, he was traded to the Minnesota Vikings, a trade that I think a lot of Chiefs fans still think, oh, man, what could have been? Jared Allen, a fan favorite. But at the end of the day, the Chiefs are in a 3-4 defense now. Jared Allen probably wouldn't fit in that defense. And not only did you net your starting left tackle in Brandon Albert, but you also got Jamal Charles with one of those picks acquired in the Jared Allen trade. Even more interesting, you look back at the franchise tag. Will Shields has played under it before signing a new deal. Tony Gonzalez has done it. Neil Smith has done it. Even Dan Williams signed a long-term deal, and this is very interesting. He was not happy about signing. This was Probably 98, I want to say, but I could be wrong. It was in the 90s. Defensive end Dan Williams gets franchised, doesn't like it. It was 98. He sits out the entire 1998 season. He sits out the whole season. He never signs his franchise tender. And then after that year, plays with the Chiefs in 99 and 2000 because he inked a long-term deal after sitting out the 1998 season. That's probably the most drama the Chiefs have had with a franchise player. And he even signed a long-term deal eventually with the team. Dan Williams' injuries curtailed his career, and it was over for him in Kansas City after 2000. But some interesting history there with the franchise tag. Dwayne Bowe, as expected, slapped with that tag, gets the non-exclusive. So what does it mean for the Chiefs? Well, it means that if Brandon Carr does not sign a long-term deal with the team before March 13th, he will become an unrestricted free agent. Some teams had some big decisions to make. Teams made news yesterday for not tagging players, San Diego and Vincent Jackson. That was one that didn't happen. Vincent Jackson, although San Diego says they want to re-sign, is going to hit the open market. Backup quarterback Matt Flynn, a lot of people thought possibly a tag and trade from the Packers signal caller. Not going to happen. Remember Matt Cassel, tag and trade with the Chiefs in 2009 when he was franchised by the Patriots. People thought that might happen with Matt Flynn. He's going to hit the open market on March 13th. So really free agency is coming into focus. And so the Chiefs, of their big three, they've got Dwayne Bowe franchised. Brandon Carr is not franchised, will hit the open market on March 13th if a long-term deal isn't in place. And Kyle Horton, the third member of the big three, is in the same boat as Brandon Carr. We do know that talks have continued between the Chiefs and Kyle Horton, as well as the Chiefs and Brandon Carr. I think the Chiefs generally want to re-sign both players, but it takes two to tango. If you're Brandon Carr and you're one of the top free agents on the market, you know, his agent might be jockeying for him to test the open waters, or it might be some sort of a bargaining ploy there. We'll see what shakes out in free agency with Brandon Carr. Kyle Orton, a very thin free agent market at the quarterback position. He may want to test and see what's out there before ultimately deciding to come back to Kansas City or moving on to another team. All indications from Kyle Orton is that he enjoyed his teammates. He got along with the locker room very well, got along with Matt Cassel very well, and we'll see what shakes out. Also around the NFL, the next big piece of news before we hit free agency is obviously March 8th. Day after tomorrow, the Indianapolis Colts will have to make their decision on Peyton Manning, who's due a large roster bonus. So Manning watches is on from all NFL fans across the country right now, just as franchise tag watch was yesterday. So you can get kind of lost in the non-exclusive, the exclusive, the franchise tag. That's my, in layman's terms, what it means for the Chiefs heading into free agency, and it definitely crystallizes the picture just a little bit more with where the Chiefs are with their big in-house free agents and what's going to happen around the league once free agency kicks off at 3 p.m. on Tuesday, March 13th. Look for our Chiefs Live next week. I'm going to give you my free agency wish list. I'll talk about our guys in-house that I think played key roles for the Chiefs last season that are definitely guys we want to watch when free agency opens, as well as some fits externally that might interest the Chiefs. So next week, we'll have the show at noon. Free agency will start a few hours right afterwards. And, you'd think I'd turn my ringer off on my phone when I come up here. But we'll look at that. So it's our free agency preview show next week on KCChiefs.com. Now that the franchise tag is out of the way, let's go to the 101 Awards Banquet. It was the 42nd annual banquet. It was held in Kansas City. A lot of you have heard of the awards, but we're going to take you for the first time on this show inside. This is a black tie event. You'll see, I wasn't exactly wearing a black tie at this thing. My tie was on. I had some black on, but my tie was not black. I'm sure you guys will rub me a little bit in our chat room for my wardrobe choice. I know Roger Staubach did a bit, but we've got exclusive interviews with not only Justin Houston, Derek Johnson, Roger Staubach, Bobby Bell, but we're also going to take you actually inside the 101 Awards and show you the things that happened on stage. So we're going to take you and place you inside the 101s. And let's start things off by looking at the Derek Thomas MVP Award winner, Derek Johnson, and the Mackley Hill Award winner, the Chiefs Rookie of the Year winner, outside linebacker Justin Houston. This is what these guys had to say on stage as we take you inside the 101 Awards banquet.
Derek Johnson continues his incredible play. Justin Houston is an animal. He's a beast.
We might be seeing the rookie growing up tonight in front of our eyes.
Looking back, I clearly see what it is that's killing me.
Send off Poon. Hit in the back tail. Drop for a loss. Derek Johnson continues his brilliant season.
And the throw is Tebow in the pocket.
He's going to be sacked by Justin Houston. Sacked back at the 27-yard line. Pass deflected, intercepted. Derek Johnson with the interception. Near side, and Justin Houston. It's a loss on the play. Empty backfield for Haney. Sidestep under pressure, and Justin Houston's got him.
Please welcome the two award winners for the Kansas City Chiefs 2011 season, linebacker Justin Houston and linebacker Derek Johnson.
Congratulations, my man.
Congratulations, guys.
Hey, appreciate it, man.
Right, relax a little bit, having some fun up here. Yeah. All right, Derek, I'm going to start with you. 7 years in the NFL, but the last two you've really come out of your shell and developed as one of the top linebackers in the NFL. Last season, 179 tackles, set the Chiefs single-season record for tackles in a season. You've moved into sixth all-time career tackles for the Chiefs, moving just ahead of Derek Thomas. Tell me, what has led to your growth to be one of the NFL's top linebackers?
Well, you know, the great thing about football is whenever you get any kind of accolades or success, it's a group of great guys or a committee of guys working around you, and have to give credit where credit's due. My coaching staff is great. Coach Gibbs, my linebacker coach, is you know, very experienced, smart guy, and he's a great coach to be coached up under. Coach Cornell, the defense coordinator, he puts the scheme out and allows me to be in the right place at the right time. But you know, especially being an inside backer, defensive lineman, you know, those are your best friends. So Tyson and Darcy and those guys did a great job for me.
Speaking of right place at the right time, you've been known for big impacting plays, big momentum changing plays, interceptions for touchdowns, forced fumbles, key sacks. What is it about your game that puts you in position to make those plays? Or is it your film study, your preparation? Like you said, the guys in front of you that are making the lanes for you? What is it about your game that's developed?
It's definitely the mental aspect of the game has developed for me throughout my years here at the Chiefs. And the film study, man, you just can't get enough of that, staying in the film room with the coaches, staying after, just knowing when they, I guess, to anticipate plays during the game to make the big play, and just having that confidence in. You got to have confidence playing in this game.
And it's no coincidence that your two best years are when Romeo Crennel was your defensive coordinator, correct?
Exactly, big time.
Justin, nice job coming in as a rookie of the year. You had big impact on the team. How were you able, Coach mentioned it when he was up here, how were you able to make an impact when you didn't have the offseason to prepare, you didn't have training camp to prepare? 5.5 sacks, second on the team, 70 tackles this year. Talk about how you were able to step right in as a rookie and be able to make an impact on this defense.
Well, I would give the credit to the coaches. They made it very easy for me coming in without an offseason. They explained the defense to me well, and also have leaders like Derek Johnson and Tom breaking down the defense also helped. A lot.
We'll talk about your breakout game early December against Chicago. 3 sacks. You come on the season, or you come on the scene, really, those 3 sacks against Chicago. It's a Chiefs single season or single game record for a rookie. Just talk about that game and what you remember most about it.
I was just going. It's just happening. You get one of those zones, you really don't keep track of what you're doing. I was just going the whole game. I remember talking to Tom, where he just said, just relax and have fun. And that's what I was doing that game.
Well, good.
I've had a couple of comments in the chat room about my tie today. As we see, it's a black tie event. I don't normally wear a tie on this show. As our man David Adcock said, we're classing up the Chiefs Live show today with the black tie event, myself wearing a tie. And now you're going to see a brighter tie because I talked with Justin Houston a little bit before the show, which is an interesting year. You'll hear him talk about where you remember in training camp, Justin Houston came on the scene and had the sacks against the Ravens, and Chiefs fans were like, wow, how about a compliment to Tom Bahali? This kid can really play. And then he didn't do much at the beginning of the year, and then he blows up midway through the year. It's like something clicked for Justin Houston. I talked to him about that this past Saturday night of when things really began to click for him as a rookie and as he ended up winning the Mackley Hill Award. It's the 42nd annual 101 Awards in Kansas City, and we're with Chiefs Mackley Hill Award winner, Rookie of the Year, Justin Houston. Justin, I guess I got to ask you, how hard is it to get an NFL sack, and how is that process for you, learning how hard it is to get that NFL sack?
It's very hard. I know preseason, I thought it was going to be easy. I know Thomas said, this is nothing compared to the regular season. It's hard to get a sack, because I told him I easily get 10 sacks, and he said it's hard to get 10 sacks. 10 sacks would be a great year, so, and I figured that out as the season went on, and midway through the season, I didn't have my first sack, and I was getting worried about getting my first sack, but it's tough out there. It's a lot of hard work you got to put into it, but it felt great to get my first sack.
Yeah, I ask you that because it was an interesting year for you. You have a great preseason, and where everybody, the rookies come on, you came in a little bit late signing your contract, but then you have a great preseason with sacks. Then the start of the season didn't go how you wanted. Then all of a sudden you break out and we see the 3 sacks against the Bears. What was that up and down like? And you mentioned Tom, but how'd you rely on him to kind of get you through that rookie ups and downs and the highs and lows?
He just always kept talking to me. I know it was times I was down, and he just always kept me positive with a positive mindset. He just say, keep working, man. It'll pay off. Just be patient. Just wait. It'll pay off one of these days. And it finally did. It felt great to have a 3-sack game.
This is an award that's voted on by your teammates. How special is that that they decided of the rookies, Justin Houston is the guy that we want to honor tonight?
That means a lot to me, because just knowing my teammates have faith in me, because you play for each other, not only yourself, but you also playing for the guy next to you. But knowing the guy next to you have faith in you, it means a lot.
You set your goals out for 2012 yet? You put them on a napkin or anything?
not really, but I just hope I can do just as much as Thomas do or has been doing. So
that's a tall task.
Yeah, it's a lot, but I'm shooting high.
Where have you been doing this offseason? Where are you living and where are you training?
I'm in Atlanta, Georgia right now, and I've been training at this place called Rock Hard Fitness, with a trainer I've been having since college. So hopefully he'll get me prepared.
I got you flipping tires or doing anything odd in any strange workouts?
Yeah, we actually are. We're flipping tires, pulling sleds, running hills. It's like a hill, 50 yards long, straight up. I'm putting in work, so hopefully it'll pay off.
You're flipping tires up a hill.
I'm running hills. All right. That's a lot of flip a tire up here.
I like to hang my hat on the Justin Houston pick, because if you remember this time last year, I was beating down the door about how I thought this guy was a perfect fit for the Chiefs. Granted, I said in the first round, and the Chiefs get him in the third round. There were some issues that happened in the NFL Combine that sent Justin Houston stock down. But obviously, he is a very good fit opposite Tom Bahal Lee, and has done a great thing for the Chiefs. I'll have more on Justin Houston tomorrow on KCChiefs.com as he looks forward to building on his 2011 season, have a big 2012 campaign. 2011 was also big for Derek Johnson, who's really seemed to have big years throughout his career in Kansas City. But something clicked, and I don't think it just clicked for the people inside this building and his teammates. I think fans were able to see the leadership role that Derek Johnson took over this defense last year. I think it was a very visible jump in his leadership ability, and his teammates responded by voting him as the Derek Thomas Team MVP. I talked to him before the 101 award banquet about that honor and about really what he's been doing this offseason. Let's take a look. We're at the 42nd Annual 101 Awards with Chiefs linebacker Derek Johnson, winner of this year's Derek Thomas MVP award. Your teammates vote for it. How special is that for you?
Man, it's real special. If you can get the respect from your teammates, and that's the most special thing you can do. Your teammates can vote and say, this guy, stand up on the table and say, this guy is MVP of our team.
You've come to this event once as the Mackley Hill winner, as the Rookie of the Year. Is it different? Is it familiar? What's the feel like compared to the first time you were here?
Well, it's a little different. I'm a little older now, 6 or 7 years later. But it's still an award that your teammates have voted you in, and it's special. It was special then, and it's even more special now.
As Will Shields was being announced as the newest member of the Chiefs Hall of Fame, you and Justin were looking at him and taking his words. You actually got to play with Will as a young player. What were some of the things that he showed you along the way?
Well, just how to be a pro. Will Shields is a guy that that plays at a high level on the practice field and on Sundays, and he's just a guy that everybody respects. And I can't wait till they call his name to be in the NFL Hall of Fame.
And if you follow me on Twitter at Josh Looney, you can see exactly a close-up of the award that Derek Johnson won. I tweeted it out yesterday. You can just go to my page, twitter.com/Josh Looney, and check out the pic. It's pretty cool. I've got the actual big shot of the trophy, and then I've got a close-up of the inscription, which it's pretty meaningful inscription that reads on the trophy that really signifies what Derek Thomas meant to the Chiefs organization and what Derek Thomas and his legacy has continued to evolve as players win that MVP award and their importance to the team. Derek Johnson, you could say a key member of the Kansas City Chiefs. As we talk about the franchise tag and Dwayne Bowe, that never happened with Derek Johnson. He signed an in-season extension, not this past year, but the season before. So Derek Johnson locked in for the long haul. Wouldn't be surprised if he's a career lifer in Kansas City, and it seems like he's only just begun his ascent as he's now 7 years in this league, but wins the Derek Thomas MVP award at the 101 banquet for the very first time. And as you heard there, he's won it before, but he won it as the Mackley Hill award winner for the 2005 season, when he entered the league as the Rookie of the Year. So he had a six-year hiatus there in between winning it in 2005/2006 and now in 2011-2012. So Derek Johnson, congratulations on being voted by your teammates as the 101 award recipient of the Derek Thomas Team MVP. On the Chiefs' end of this past weekend's black tie event, Will Shields was announced as the newest member of the Chiefs Hall of Fame. We talked to Will about that honor and about his career in Kansas City. And keep in mind, this is a guy who was very overlooked when he arrived in Kansas City. 1993, who comes in? Marcus Allen comes in. Joe Montana is traded for. So the Chiefs don't have a first-round pick. They don't have a second-round pick. But they've got future Hall of Famers in Derek Thomas, Joe Montana, Marcus Allen on this team. You've got guys like Neil Smith on this squad. You look around, they're superstar power on the 1993 Kansas City Chiefs. So Will Shields, by default, is the Chiefs' first pick of the 93 draft. Didn't generate much fanfare. An offensive lineman from Nebraska is the Chiefs' first pick, and it doesn't happen until the third round. The second-round pick, as you might recall or probably don't recall, supplemental draft 1992, the Chiefs use a second-round pick on Florida defensive end Darren Mickle. Did not have a very long career in Kansas City. Besides that, though, Will Shields comes in. He says he's not ready to play, as you'll hear in the interview we're about to show, but he's forced in his very first week of his rookie season because Dave Zott, very talented offensive lineman, very respected offensive lineman, goes out with an injury. And Will Shields is a rookie in his first game, an unheralded third-round pick, and his job in week one is to protect future Hall of Famer Joe Montana. Of course, we know the story. Really, Will Shields had a better career in Kansas City than Joe Montana, and you can argue at his position, you can put him up there in Derek Thomas' range, two very different players. But you look at the career of Derek Thomas and what he did in Kansas City and the career of Will Shields and what he did in Kansas City, and in my opinion, very comparable. So this third-round pick, surrounded by all of these guys, all of this star power, goes on to have one of the best careers in the history of the Chiefs organization. He was up for the Pro Football Hall of Fame this past year for the first time. No question he will be in Canton at some point. Now he will have his name in the Chiefs Hall of Honor. I talked with Will about that before the 101 Awards. Let's take a look.
We're at the 101 Banquet with the newest member of the Chiefs Hall of Fame, offensive lineman Will Shields. Will, when you were drafted in the third round in 1993, did you ever think this was going to happen tonight?
Well, I don't know about tonight. I mean, you never plan on being in anybody's Hall of Fame. I think it was more or less I got an opportunity and I was going to make the best of it, and that's sort of where I took it as, is that, you know, all 31 teams passed on me twice. So at that time, it was my opportunity to make them all pay. So it worked out well.
They all passed on you twice, and you were kind of an overlooked guy here in Kansas City. It was Montana mania at the time. The Chiefs didn't have a first-round pick. They didn't have a second-round pick. So you were the first pick kind of by default in the third round. What was it like going into that rookie season in Kansas City with Joe Montana and all these big names around you?
You know, I was more worried about playing. I mean, it was more or less of, yeah, Joe Montana was here. It was great to watch, but it was really cool because it was like playing with a rock star. I mean, you'd pull up and there's people yelling and screaming at the bus and everything else, and, you know, you're going, wow, this is what football's like. So it was really good to be an offensive lineman because you're not in the limelight, but you still got to make sure that guy's protected too.
Well, with him behind you, take us through your mindset when you were a rookie and you lined up for that first career start with Joe Montana behind you.
Well, it was more or less don't get him hit, don't get him hurt, don't get him killed. So, you know, I had all my P's and Q's and focus on the guy across from me to make sure that nobody touched him. And so I think it gave that bar, it set the bar for where I needed to be.
When you reflect on your career and you remember your teammates and you remember the fans, what sticks out to you the most just about Kansas City and about the Chiefs and playing for the organization?
Well, I think it's the camaraderie piece. I mean, you're with one with the fans, and that's one thing you love about it. It gets more of a college feel than it does a pro feel, and that's what you like about it. I don't know what they consider the pro, but I know it felt like coming from being in Nebraska, coming here, and still having that same love and passion.
And you made this your permanent home. Your son's got a sub-state basketball game tonight. You live in Kansas City. The Will to Succeed Foundation is still going. You have 68 Inside Sports. Why make Kansas City your permanent community after you're done playing?
Well, you got to realize once you have kids and you start growing up here, it grows on them also, and they just be embedded in the community and part of it. So it's hard to uproot your family and move them somewhere else. Plus, why not? Kansas City's a great place.
Now, the Will to Succeed Foundation is still going strong. Tell us some of the things that are still happening with you in that.
Well, what we're doing is we're going to have a flag football tournament coming in October, as well as we're looking at doing a golf tournament this summer. So those are two of our big events that will come through Kansas City, and we'll do some fundraising here and there with other smaller venues and things like that.
And we've got any future pro hopefuls. They can train at 68 Inside Sports as well. You're preparing some college guys.
We have a few that we've got going. You know, we've got a couple of quarterbacks that I think is going to be pretty good this year. That's going to be, they're under the radar now, but they'll surface pretty soon.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And the fact that Will Shields made his permanent home in Kansas City makes it all the more sweeter. If you're a follower of high school athletics, you know that his son was on a Latham Northwest basketball squad where he delivered the ball to Willie Cauley, who's going to the University of Kentucky, one of the top recruits in the country. Olathe Northwest actually upset by Olathe East this past week, and it won't make the state playoffs. Second straight year. So you've got Willie Cauley, one of the top recruits in the country. Will Shields' son, who's going to go and play guard for, he's going to follow his father's footsteps, of course, the University of Nebraska. You don't see in Kansas City two Division I basketball players on the same team, much less miss the state tournament, not one but 2 years in a row, which is a little bit bittersweet for Will, because this night was a sub-state game. He got inducted in the Chiefs Hall of Fame officially. Well, I guess to be inducted. He'll officially be inducted this upcoming fall at a home game. There'll be Alumni Week, and we'll be able to honor him on the field where he gets his bust and sees it for the first time, and fans will give him the standing O and the whole 9 yards at halftime of a game. That's when he will be officially inducted. But this is really the announcement of his induction. So he was there at the 101 Awards for that. Well, he missed his son's sub-state game that was at Leavenworth High School, where they were upset by Olathe East. So bittersweet night for Will Shields, accepting one of the highest honors a player can receive in Chiefs franchise history, but also missing his son's final high school basketball game. Of course, since his son's playing Nebraska, it won't be his son's final game ever, but still probably bittersweet for Will Shields. Congratulations to him. He will be the 42nd member of the Chiefs Hall of Fame, and obviously there'll be more details and more celebrations about Will and his inclusion in the Hall of Fame this coming fall. I also talked to another Hall of Famer at the 101 Awards, a guy who was, he's always dressed to the nines, and he never misses a 101 Awards banquet, because this guy was not only a Hall of Famer for the Chiefs, but he was the very first recipient of the AFC Defensive Player of the Year Award way back in 1970. And I don't think he's missed a 101 Awards banquet since, when he's being honored or when he's just going to be seen, let's say. Chiefs Hall of Famer Bobby Bell, I caught up with him on, I guess you could call it, the red carpet at the VIP gathering right before the 101s. Bobby, well, he was just being Bobby. Let's take a look.
Well, I know one guy who never misses the 101 Awards, and it's you, an opportunity to wear a tuxedo, Bobby Bell, on a Saturday night, Mr. Tuxedo.
I take a bath once a week, and this is a good night for me, man.
tell me, how long have you missed any of these 101 Award banquets? Way back to 1969, when you were the first recipient of the AFC Defensive Player of the Year.
Have I missed any?
Have you
I don't
missed
think
any?
So. It's been a long time. How long has that been? 69 now? Well, no, I don't think I'm missing anything, but it started off back in 1969. Everybody said, will it work, you know? And evidently it does work, because people around the country always talk about it. The 101, they say they enjoy and love it coming here, and a lot of the guys show up here. We got some great players that come in here, the coaches. It's been a really nice thing. I think it's one of the best ones in the country, really, this 101, because everybody asks me about it and like to come to it.
Well, the players changed, the game has changed, the offense has changed, defense has changed. How has this event changed in the last 40 years?
Well, I don't think this event has changed anything. It used to be, 6 hours all night long, and they cut that down a little bit. But I don't think the event in itself has changed. You get an opportunity to meet a lot of guys, like the reception here. You get to meet some of the alumni and a lot of the players and a lot of people that you don't see all the time. Just to enjoy the time and meet the Greek place.
Where do I get a tux like a Hall of Famer? I'm in these rentals all the time, man. You are looking good.
I'll give you a card here. I'll fix you up with some tux, I'm glad you
always
asked me, man.
Always carrying the card. No joke, he's got the card with the tux.
No. I'm going to fix you up with some clothes, too,
I need it.
I want you to go out there and get some clothes, too.
Marvell's Men's Clothier, I'll be there. I need something. I get out of this rental.
Yeah, I'll fix you up, man.
Enjoy your night.
Yeah, all right, thank you.
The best thing about Bobby, he's never camera shy. He's always a great interview. When we come back for the second half hour of Chiefs Live, brought to you by your Midwest Ford dealers, we'll take a look at the national part of the show and find out what getting Western means, because we'll give you the full onstage portion of the return of Jared Allen. That's all coming up when we return on Chiefs Live, brought to you by your Midwest Ford dealers.
Together, we are music. Hearts beating to the same drum. We are many, but we are one. Brothers of the Sun.
The concert event of the year. Brothers of the Sun Tour. Superstars Kenny Chesney, Tim McGraw. With Grace Potter and the Nocturnals and Jake Owen. Tickets will go on sale Friday, December 9th at 10 a.m.
The new Chiefs team store is located on the Founders Plaza on the north side of the new Arrowhead Stadium. Open on game days and from 10 to 6 Monday through Saturday throughout the season, the team store has the largest selection of Chiefs merchandise in the Kansas City area. Featuring official sideline apparel from Reebok, and you can shop 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at kcchiefs.com.
They sacrifice, they protect, they answer the call at all times. They are the men and women of our armed forces, and their will, heart, dedication, and service to the country that we call home is nothing less than extraordinary. Return the favor. Text the word RETURN to 90999 now for your $10 donation, or simply visit returnthefavor.org. Please join us in returning the favor.
Welcome back to Chiefs Live, brought to you by your Midwest Ford dealers. The National Part of the 101 Awards featured the return of Chiefs defensive end Jared Allen. Now, let me preface this story. The last time Jared Allen won a team award, I believe it was after the 2007 season, shortly before his trade. It might have been traded actually days or weeks after the 101 banquet. He'd won the Chiefs team MVP that year. He had led the league, I believe it was 07, might have been the year he led the league in sacks. If not, it was 06. Either way, he was voted as the team's MVP award winner. And what Jared Allen did was he showed up to what we've seen, a very black tie event, in a tuxedo t-shirt. And I want to say he had jeans on with it. I can't remember what was on the bottoms, but he had a tuxedo t-shirt on at the black tie event as he accepted his team award. He was obviously not happy with the franchise, but he was still had his personality. I don't think he stayed around as long as he did afterwards this year. When he was there, he took pictures, he signed autographs, he did the whole nine yards. I want to say he took his award and his tuxedo t-shirt and walked out the back door following the 2008 show, following the 2007 season. But Jared Allen, of course, he was a little more classed up. I'll say he didn't have a tie on this time, but he did class himself a little bit more than a tuxedo t-shirt. He was the NFC Defensive Player of the Year, as voted on by the 101 Award Committee. And we're going to take you to his onstage talk in full because, well, it's great. He tells a story about his wife, and I'll leave it up to you. But I never heard the story of, at least the term, of it's going to get Western out there. But, well, only Jared Allen can tell you exactly what that means. Let's take a look.
Well, you know, you were honored here as a member of the Chiefs for your performances as a Chief, but now this is different. This is your first time back as the winner of the NFC Defensive Player of the Year Award. It's got to be nice coming back to Kansas City. You know, they still love you here even though you wear purple.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I have to admit, I was a little nervous when I came back here during the year, and then when I hit Matt Castle and the crowd cheered for me, I felt a lot better, so... again, sorry, guys. It's an honor, man. I remember 2004 when I came here, and I won the Mackley Hill Award for Rookie of the Year. And, I mean, Peyton Manning was standing on the stage. Julius Peppers was giving an awesome speech. And, you know, I'll never forget that day because one day I said, I want to come back and win that award. And I remember I came up here in 2007 and won the Derek Thomas Award, and I was actually pretty pissed off that they gave the award to Bob Sanders that year. So that made me want to go out and work even harder. So to come back and actually win the NFC Defensive Player of the Year Award at the 101 Banquet is just, it couldn't be better for me. It comes full circle, and do it back in a place in Kansas City where, you know what, I'll always love, I'll always have a piece of my heart, and I had 4 great years here.
And Carl, I think you will know the answer to this question better than anyone. 2010 season was a down year for Jared. He doubled his sack production this year from 2010 and really had his best statistical season he has ever had. You saw him every single day. Why was he able to get so much better at this stage of his career?
Continuity and stability at the house. Got married, got a beautiful wife, and I think he really just dedicated himself to the game. And he'd come in, he'd watch film early, he'd watch film late. And I'm telling you, Wednesdays and Thursdays, he was a mentor to the younger guys. And I think that helped him out in his preparation for the game. And yeah, like you said, we didn't have a lot of leads late in games, but we found a way to rush the passer when they did throw the ball.
Jared, I think part of your legacy is going to be turning things around once again in Minnesota. What's it going to take? Because, you know, you're coming off a 3-13 year. You got a young quarterback in Christian Ponder that played a lot of football last year. What's it going to take to turn things around in Minnesota?
I don't know. Rick, Coach Frazier? Maybe they should answer that. You know what, man? It's about – football is a weird sport. I mean, you take the Niners, you know. I mean, they were 6-10 last year. No one thought Alex Smith had a prayer to do anything. And you look, they got something that fit for them. That team found something to believe in. And that's what this game is about, is finding something to believe in. I mean, you know, I try to tell our guys all the time, football, yes, it's a team sport, but it's a collection of individuals doing the best that they can. So if you can just quit worrying about all the other BS that goes on around and focus on your job, and you get, you know, like Terrell said, they had the whole front office believing. Once you get everybody believing in one thing, you can accomplish it. So, you know, I got all the faith in our organization. They're going to go make the moves they need to make. But when it comes down to it, it's about guys buying in and just giving a piece of yourself to that season. And you know what? At the end of the day, these awards are great, but the only thing people remember are Super Bowls.
First 4 seasons in the National Football League here in Kansas City. Last 4 seasons as a Minnesota Viking. Since leaving Kansas City, do you think you have grown and improved more as a player or as a person?
You know what? I think life is a continual journey. And as I grow as a man, as I grow in my faith, you know, as I continue to grow as a husband and I just became a father, you know, you continually learn. And if you can't apply what you learn in life to your craft, then it's all for naught. So for me, I would have to say it's a both. It's a combination of both. What I learn and how I'm maturing my life is what I'm able to translate over the game. Like Coach Dunbar said, you know, I'm not getting any stronger. I'm not getting any faster. So, you know, it's about mental preparation. It's about, you know, resting your body when you need to rest, and just doing the right things, and believing that God's going to put you in the place that you need to be. And then when that opportunity comes, just taking advantage of it.
Carl, you've coached some other great ones in Minnesota. Pat, Kevin Williams come to mind. Certainly, this guy's a unique player. What makes him such a dominant pass rusher off the edge?
I think his tenacity, and people take him for granted because people think he doesn't play against the run. But I've never seen Jared take a slow step on the field. Now, he might beg to differ, but certain days we don't like to practice. So we got to work through that. Practice. But when you turn on the lights on Sunday, you know, he's ready to play ball. And I think that's the thing. We made a deal when he first came over from Kansas City. If you beat up the tight ends, you can do whatever you want to the offensive tackles because we can't get blocked by tight ends. And we'll learn how to defeat these big 6'7", 340-pound left tackles on the running downs. And I think he's done a great job. And I think that's the thing. And I was fortunate enough to be in Minnesota for 6 years. And when you got your best players practicing hard, the young guys can't do anything but follow suit. And he's made us better doing that since the time he's been there with us.
Well, we're in the time of the year now where the draft is the number one story, in addition to free agency. So as Scott Pioli knows very well, and Rick Spielman, general manager of the Vikings, we start talking about terms like pass rush ability quite a bit. But as you can see, Jared has a lot of personality in addition to that pass rush ability. National Football League knows that as well, and they allowed him to play a big part in a recent campaign to say thank you to the fans. If you haven't seen it, or even if you have seen it, it's worth another one.
Come on, guys.
Hero.
Red leather, yellow leather. Red leather, yellow leather.
Oh! Not yet.
Ready?
Hey!
All right. Get you guys up. Get in position.
I can't believe we're doing this.
How y'all doing?
I'm getting stage fright.
Let's do this.
Come on.
You want to sing you a song?
Did you ever know that you're my hero? And everything I would like to be. I can fly higher than an eagle. You are the wind beneath my wings.
Thank you.
Thank you,
guys. Thank you for coming
by. Nailed it! Yes!
We did see Clark Hunt singing there as well a couple of different times. At the end there, when you jumped up and said, nailed it, was that something the producer and director told you to do, or is that all ad-lib?
Never.
That's him, all the time.
You know what? I wish they would have shown me. I even threw my hat at the firefighter. I booped a little kid on the nose. I mean, I gave it all to that commercial. I'm tired of being second fiddle to Adrian.
Joe and Alan, always an interesting personality at the 101 Awards and really in everything he does, and it was no exception this year. And as I said, he was the life of the party afterwards as well, signing autographs for kids, taking pictures, doing the whole nine yards. The Lamar Hunt Legacy Award has also been given out each year since Lamar Hunt's passing. You've had some great organizations such as Monday Night Football, NFL Films have won that award. This year was a guy who I think most Chiefs fans don't know was drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs. It was either the 10th or the 13th round. Well, he's a former Heisman Trophy winner. He's a Super Bowl champion. He's a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Quarterback Roger Staubach won the Lamar Hunt Legacy Award this year at the 101 Awards. And this is a guy who could have been a Kansas City Chief. Let's take a look.
Roger Staubach was the first athlete that I ever loved or worshipped, whatever term you want to use. The idea of America's team, I really believed that. So of course, I'm going to love the best player on the country's best team. Tarkington was probably the best known scrambler, but Staubach scrambling was much more aggressive to me, where instead of trying to flee guys, he seemed to actually enjoy the contact. Staubach was a fairly reckless player. I mean, that's part of the reason he got hurt so much. Even now, even though I'm 38, I still think of him in the most classically heroic way. Because when you watched Cowboy games, even if they were behind by 14 or 17, it didn't really matter what the score was, there was a high likelihood that they would come back. Because so much of their success was built around Staubach's ability to bring the team back.
In the 1972 divisional playoff, the former naval officer demonstrated why he earned the nickname Captain Comeback, throwing two touchdowns in the final 2 minutes. During an 11-year NFL career, Staubach led 15 fourth-quarter comeback victories, including this one that gave birth to the term Hail Mary.
Well, the Cowboys need a miracle. Roger takes the snap, humps and watch. He's going long, down the near sideline for Drew Pearson. Pearson makes the catch at the 5, touchdown! What you believe it?
There's probably never been a better role model than Roger Staubach, certainly in sports. He seems like the best possible American you could create. If you dreamed of having a son, it would be like Staubach. He went to the Naval Academy, won the Heisman. He was awesome there. Then he goes and fights in an unwinnable war. It was very clear that he was a religious person.
Staubach was the MVP in Super Bowl VI and played in 4 world championship games. In Super Bowl XII, he won his second ring.
Roger goes deep across the middle, way downfield, and Butch Johnson caught, touchdown!
Staubach is arguably the best quarterback of the 70s. When he retired, He had the highest quarterback ranking at the time of all time, so he was technically the best passer in the history of the game.
I appreciate my teammates through the years because I'm one that's been successful in this system. There's been a lot of good ones. And there'll be many more good ones. But I thank the Cowboys, and I'm retired.
Aikman had more success than Staubach. I'm sure his career completion percentage is much higher because he was very accurate. I'm sure all his numbers are higher because he played at a time when it was more of a passing league. But I don't know if there'll ever be a point when people talk about the greatest Cowboys that Staubach isn't seen as their starting quarterback. There's no way anyone can be better than him because he kind of created the template for what being a great Cowboy quarterback is.
Heisman Trophy Award winner, Pro Football Hall of Famer, and now Lamar Hunt Legacy Award winner, former Cowboys guard Roger Staubach joins us at the 101 Awards Banquet. Let's go back to some history a lot of Chiefs fans may not recall. You were actually a draft pick of the Chiefs. What made your decision to sign with the Cowboys and forgo the AFL Kansas City Chiefs?
Well, I was at the Naval Academy. It was after my junior year. I was 1 year in junior college, New Mexico Military Institute. They sent a lot of us there, a lot of military guys there. So I was drafted. It was a non-event by Dallas and Kansas City when I was a junior. So I had my senior year and 4 years in the Navy, and I didn't really think I'd ever play pro football again or ever play pro football. And I figured after Navy I would be finished with football. But both Lamar Hunt and the Cowboys talked to me about playing. If I played someday, I would play for their team, because back then both of them drafted me, so it was the league was not merged yet. And so I signed with Dallas. And in 69, I joined the Cowboys as a rookie, and Lenny Dawson takes him to the Super Bowl. So I could have been me taking him to the Super Bowl.
Could have been you.
Or maybe I would have been behind Lenny Dawson.
But Lenny retired in the mid-70s, the Chiefs definitely could have used you at quarterback. I guarantee that.
I got a chance to finally start in 71 with the Cowboys. And Lamar Hunt was a great person, though. He's a good he came to see me personally to talk to me when I was in Annapolis about signing with the Chiefs. And we became friends. We used to kid about that a lot, but we became great friends. And he's his reputation and the great things he does for other people are wonderful. And I'm proud to be having an award I'm going to have in my office in my home with Lamar Hunt on that award. So it's a neat deal for me too. So
what sticks out to you? Maybe one thing about Lamar Hunt and his legacy, since this is a legacy award.
Well, I actually talked to him back and forth because he came to see me in Annapolis. So I did get to know him. Got to know him in Dallas. It was his humility. He was extremely generous to everybody that he dealt with. He loved sports. He got things started. He made the Super Bowl. He did all those things. Helped put the leagues together. And he was just... lack of ego, because it was always giving somebody else credit. He just was a great human being that you could trust. And his legacy, he told me I have the legacy. When you hear the legacy award, you're an old guy. So I'm really proud to have the Lamar Hunt Legacy Award.
Have you been able to run into any of the former Chiefs in Pro Football Hall of Famers?
Bobby Bell, yeah. I played against Bobby in college. He was in Minnesota, and he grabbed my face mask and spun me around and got a 15-yard penalty for that. Yes.
I thought back then those weren't penalties. They just let the defenders do whatever they wanted.
They got him on that. It was that flagrant. Bobby did not mess around when he grabbed my face mask. But, he was a great, great player. And tonight, of course, I had a great, great visit with Lenny Dawson. And I remember... I haven't seen Otis Taylor. Is he here tonight?
I haven't seen Otis.
That's 69 Super Bowl. I can still see Hank Stram on the sideline there and Lenny throwing Otis Taylor. So.
Well, congratulations.
You don't remember that, though.
I wasn't born. It wasn't quite 20 years, but it was close for me. Right, so I needed a little more time. Yeah. Congratulations.
Well, a lot of memories here tonight.
I hear you. Enjoy your night, Roger.
Thanks.
Now, for me, a guy like Roger Staubach, I don't usually get nervous interviewing people, especially players, but I grew up in a family that all is from Texas. In fact, I'm like the black sheep in my family. I'm the only one in my family born outside of Texas. I've never lived in Texas, but my entire family all from the Dallas area. My grandfather had Cowboys season tickets. So I grew up knowing all about Tom Landry and Roger Staubach. And I don't get starstruck when I'm talking to Derek Johnson or Jamal Charles. I guess it's because these are guys I work with every day. But when there's somebody like it, Roger Staubach, it's like, wow, those are the little things that sometimes get to me. And just an amazing man. Everything you hear about him is true. And he commands a presence. And on a day where Jared Allen was accepting an award and usually steals the show, on stage there, it was Roger Staubach that actually stole the show at the 101 Awards, in my opinion. It's incredible some of the insight he gives you to his history and of course, being a Navy veteran and the odd path he took, not only to reach the NFL, but to become a starting quarterback and also one of the better quarterbacks in NFL history. So Roger Staubach, this year's Lamar Hunt Legacy Award winner. Before we close out on Chiefs Live, I want to bring you to another guy. Some of you may notice, and those of you that do know who this man is, you probably don't know his background story. John Amos, he is an actor. He's been on television and in the movies. You think in the movie Coming to America, he was the dad in Coming to America. He's been on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. He's had reoccurring character roles in The West Wing, Two and a Half Men. I mean, you name it. You've probably seen John Amos in some way, shape, or form. The background to John Amos, who was a celebrity guest at the 101 Awards, was his acting career took off from pushing by Chiefs head coach Hank Stram. John Amos was a failed Chiefs prospect. And Hank Stram told him, you've got something else in your life, and ended up being acting. So he was pushed away from football after having a brief stint in Chiefs training camp under Hank Stram, got into acting, and has made one heck of a career for himself. I talked to John Amos at the 101 Awards VIP pre-gathering. Let's take a look.
We're at the 101 banquet with celebrity guest John Amos. You might remember him from Coming to America and the Mary Tyler Moore Show. But what brings you back to Kansas City tonight?
My love for the Chiefs. Ran into a couple of old, I guess you could call them teammates. I was only here for a cup of coffee, instant coffee. But I made some great relationships with several fellas who went on to the Hall of Fame, i.e. Bobby Bell and a few other players. I had a wonderful experience. I love the Chiefs.
Well, tell us about your football past, because it's very interesting. It's really what pushed you into an acting career.
Yeah, pushed is the right word. Coach Stram pushed me out of camp, said, look, I don't know what you are, but you're not a football player, so find something else to do. Actually, he was a little more tactful than that, but I tried unsuccessfully to play pro football twice with the Chiefs, under contract very briefly with the Broncos. In fact, it was 24 hours. The good thing about it was my dormitory was where their practice facility. So I walked to training camp and limped back home 3 blocks after I got cut. I had a wonderful experience, no career, a lot of fun, made many great friends, all of whom I love dearly to this day.
Give us an idea of what a training camp is like under a guy like Hank Stram.
Well, if you can imagine running a marathon in 105 degrees with a piano on your back, it was something like that.
I saw you talking to Bobby Bell. You guys still stay in contact?
I like to keep a safe distance from him. Contact is the wrong word to use when you're talking with Bobby Bell. And I was a running back, allegedly. It was never confirmed. But I still have nightmares of blocking him in offensive scrimmages.
And training camps are a little bit different back then. Now, you know, they don't hit for a week maybe. They'll do a couple, non-contact drills. Back then, I'm sure Bobby was coming through the A-gap and lighting you guys up.
Lighting up is the word. I mean, I wish in a way I'd have gotten more reps, but when I think about what was going to happen at the end of the rep, it's okay. You guys take them. You're getting the big money. You won the Heisman. You did this. You take the punishment. I'll just sit back on the bench and get calluses on the behind.
John, tell us what you're working on currently.
Currently, I'm working on a tour of NFL training camps with a piece I wrote years ago and recited for the Chiefs called The Turk. And that's that euphemistic, that mythical character that comes in the middle of the night, knocks on your door and says, Coach wants to see you and bring your playbook. So I read the poem for the Chiefs before I got on the bus the last time I got cut. And the reaction was such that Coach Stram encouraged me. He says, you got a calling. It's not football, but I think there's something else you can do with your life. So far, so good. I've got a couple of film projects coming out. I did a a Tyler Perry film called Medea's Witness Protection Program. I played a preacher. I was not in the Witness Protection Program. And got a few other things going on, stage work in the New York area. And I continue to tour with my one-man show, Haley's Comet, which I've used as a fundraiser for two entities, retired NFL players who missed out on a lot of benefits, and also for U.S. veterans, specifically combat veterans. I donate a lot of my time, energies, and resources to that.
Well, you never know who you're going to find at the 101 Bagel. Let's keep going and taking a look and see who else is here. We've got more stuff on John Amos coming up this fall, and be expecting to see him at Chiefs training camp at some point in St. Joseph this summer as well. Big thanks to everybody for joining us on this Chiefs Live, brought to you by your Midwest Ford dealers. The franchise tag, as we said, with Dwayne Bowe out of the way. Now it's time to start possibly re-signing some guys, in-house guys, before they hit the free agent market. The Chiefs have 18 players who started at least one game for the Chiefs last season scheduled to become free agents, whether it's restricted, unrestricted, or exclusive rights, free agents here on March 13th. But the stage is set, and at this time next week, it will be time to talk free agency as the NFL offseason will officially kick off. And what it basically means is the calendar turns to 2012 because March 13th is January 1st to the NFL world. We'll see you next week on Chiefs Live. Thanks, everybody.